All right, this morning we are beginning a new series for Advent. We are in the Gospel of Matthew today. We'll be looking at different passages correlating and telling us about the Christmas story, so to speak, the birth of Jesus. And so this morning we are in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. You can follow along on the screen or in your own Bible or pew Bible there in front of you. But this is God's word to you and me today. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, other times it says, and I'm going to use the word, because he was a righteous man, the translation I use in preparing the sermon today. So because he was a righteous man, because he was faithful to the law, the Old Testament law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us. Speak to us today through this passage, through what you are saying to us. Lord, open our eyes up to what you're saying and help us, Lord, to live this out and grow deeper in faith today and this Christmas season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Without a doubt, Christmas is all about the gifts, right? I mean, we spend several weeks considering just the right gifts for each person on our list of people for whom we buy, whoever that is for you, right? Your parents, spouse, children, grandchildren, maybe aunts and uncles, nieces and nephews, however you work it in your family, whatever your family culture is, your size of your family is. For you ladies who are married, undoubtedly, throughout the year, you listen to your husband and observe what's going on in his life, kind of, you know, absorb what's going on and give considerable thought to what gift or gifts you want to give him so that when he opens it, he knows that you love him and care for him deeply. It's a gift that just speaks right to his heart, right? And for you guys who are married, certainly you go out and buy something lovely for your life as well. And you plan for it. You plan for it months in advance. And you buy it weeks in advance. And you wrap it, oh, so carefully. And it is the first gift under the tree, right? No, probably not so much. Certainly you wouldn't wait until December 24th and stick it in a brown paper bag wrapped up with duct tape, would you? Never. No one would ever do that here. Whether you are a planner or a last-minute shopper, Christmas is all about the gifts. And I think regardless of which camp you tend to fall in, long-range planner or last-minute shopper, we do want to give good gifts. We want to give gifts that will be a blessing to those who receive them. We want to give gifts that they will appreciate and that represent, communicate in some way how we feel about that person, that we love them, appreciate them, and care for them, and so forth. So Christmas is all about the gifts. Why is that so? You know, why is it that Christmas is about gifts? Why not the 4th of July or Memorial Day weekend or President's weekend or some other holiday? Why do we give gifts at Christmas? Probably many of you know the answer to that, but we give gifts because Christmas began with a first gift from our Heavenly Father. And that gift led to some other gifts that were brought by three wise guys. And then at that point, let's be honest, it's a tradition, right? It's a tradition. So we just keep giving gifts every Christmas. And so in this Advent sermon series, we are going to be looking at the key gifts that are given at Christmas. The gifts that God gives and the gifts that we give as well. Now, in the book, A Very Different Christmas, and I mentioned this last week, a bunch of you picked up copies of the book. There are some more available still in the lobby. Let's start with one per household and see how it goes from there. You can pick up a copy if you didn't. But in that book, A Very Different Christmas, What Are You Hoping For This Year?, Rico Tice, the author, sets up kind of an interesting idea about celebrating Christmas in heaven, in the presence of God in God's living room. And if you read, by the way, I told you last week that we're going to go through a chapter each week, or the sermon will correlate to a chapter each week. What I forgot about before I said that is that today's sermon actually covers the first two chapters, because the first chapter is kind of an introductory one. So today's sermon really ties in with chapter two. So you can start there if you want to follow along each week. So he sets up kind of an interesting idea about celebrating Christmas in heaven, in the presence of God, in God's living room. Here's how he puts it. He writes, I want you to imagine that it is Christmas morning and you've been invited to an amazing living room to open presents. It's not yours, nor is it your relatives. It is heaven's. As you go in, you see the tree with presents underneath. And in this celestial living room is you and God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's with this God in his heavenly living room that you're spending Christmas Day this year. It's a very different place to visit for Christmas. And there are some gifts under the tree. It turns out that Christmas, even in heaven, is all about the presents. The presence under the Trinity's tree. So there you are in heaven's living room with God on Christmas Day, and God the Father says, let me go first. I'm going to give my gift, and it is for... And then he looks in your direction, and he says, you. You're thinking, well, what's God going to give me for Christmas? What's he got for me? He's the all-powerful, all-knowing God. He can give me anything. So what would you want? What would you want if God were to give you a gift? A new job or a new home, maybe? That new Tesla Cybertruck that we picked on last week a little bit? Maybe you wish you could spend Christmas with a loved one who has passed away. Maybe you'd want world peace, the eradication of ongoing hunger or disease. Maybe some of you would simply like a different outcome in the Apple Cup next year. I want you just to take a moment. We don't do this kind of thing very often. Share with the person next to you what you would want for Christmas if God could give you anything. Take about 10 or 15 seconds and share with somebody on one side or the other, what would you want God to give you for Christmas? On your mark, get set, go. Okay. So your heavenly Father could give you anything. And if you didn't get a chance to, like, both of you get to share or whatever, there's someone on the other side you want to share with, maybe continue that conversation after the worship service. So, if your heavenly Father could give you anything, but what does he actually give you? He gives you a baby. A baby. How many said to your neighbor, for Christmas, if God could give me anything, I'd like a baby? Anybody? Probably not. And we're not the first ones to say, I don't think that's the gift I want right now. In fact, the people God used to bring this baby into the world, and therefore were the very first recipients of this gift, of this baby, they did not want a baby for Christmas. You might even say that they didn't know Christmas was on the calendar. Because they didn't. This was news to them. Mary and Joseph are minding their own business. They are getting ready for their wedding day, helping out with the family farm or business or whatever. Living in sexual purity in their engagement. Well, that's clear in here. Maintaining their relationship with God. For instance, we read in verse 19 that Joseph was a righteous man. The translation this morning was that he was obedient to the law, to the Old Testament law. He lived by faith, lived in relationship with his heavenly Father. So they're going about life like any Jewish engaged couple in Israel in their time would have. And God gives them this unexpected and unwanted gift of a baby from their heavenly Father that is conceived by the Holy Spirit. They are the first recipients of this gift that God gives us, and it is not what they wanted for Christmas that year. In their day and their culture, because of the community of faith and the community at large, were by and large the same. There were other influences, of course, but in regards to many things, they were all very similar. But the Jewish culture was very pervasive, of course, and you would have, especially if you were Jewish, you hung out in Jewish circles largely. You know, so they had this cultural value of marriage before having kids. It was not a good look to be expecting a child when you were not married. This is why Joseph thought to divorce Mary, because he presumed that she had been unfaithful. But he didn't want to embarrass her at first. So he says he's going to do this quietly. That's what he's thinking in his head. To do it kind of under the radar, we might say. To use the word divorce might seem a little bit strong or like the wrong word for us because they're engaged, not married. But for them, this engagement commitment and the bond was so strong and the commitment was so solid that that's the word that they would use when breaking off an engagement. So he was going to quietly call off the wedding plans, break off the relationship because of the shame and embarrassment of the pregnancy. So this gift from their heavenly Father was not on their radar screen. This was interrupting everything. Baby was not on their Amazon wish list. But sometimes gifts are like that. Perhaps especially from a parent, and if we think of this as a gift from the Heavenly Father, but as we can think of these kinds of gifts coming especially from a parent to a child. And sometimes parents give gifts to their kids. It's not what the kids are thinking about. Like, you might give them a gift that they want, but you're going to give them something else, too, that they need. I can remember that happening in my family. I don't know, maybe I'm the only family where this happened, and my Christmases were all messed up because of it. But I routinely got a gift or two each Christmas that was not on my radar screen. It was something that my parents saw that I needed. Maybe sometimes it came from my dad or from both of them. And I can remember one that really stands out among those kinds of gifts that I think came from my dad. Maybe it came from both my mom and my dad. But one Christmas, I got my first razor as a Christmas gift. It was an electric razor, a Remington. Is Remington, they still make razors? Are they even still around? They are. I'm getting some nods of the head. Okay. I think I got it when I was in like the third grade. I'm just kidding. I didn't need to shave that early on. I think it was like my sophomore or junior year in high school. And I don't remember exactly what my reaction was, but I'm sure there was like a little bit of a tinge of embarrassment, maybe some chuckles at the thought of shaving. And this was not something I was given any thought to. It was a gift I was not expecting and really did not even want. Now, some of you are probably wondering if my current razor works properly and if I need my dad or my wife to get me a new one for Christmas. I'll just say, trust me, it's owner-operator error. It's not the razor, okay? I don't like shaving. Oh, my goodness. It's not comfortable. So I just take the hair clippers and make it as short as I can and go with that. So sometimes we give or receive gifts that aren't what we expected. Why? Because, and let's put ourselves in the shoes of receiving the gifts here, as the recipient. When we're the recipient, these gifts meet a need that we might not even realize that we have. We need that gift, whatever it might be, and we're too blind to our own, stuff in our lives to realize, oh, that's a gift I could use. It doesn't dawn on us until maybe the moment we open it, or maybe even sometime later. So we don't realize we have that need, or we pretend that we don't have that need. Sometimes we buy into the lie that ignorance is bliss. Thank God when people give us gifts, When we have people in our lives who give us gifts that help us to face reality and see a need that we have in our lives, to see the solution that perhaps has been given to us or is right there in front of us. And that is exactly why our Heavenly Father gave a baby at Christmas. We have a need, and He wanted to give us a gift to meet that need. We find out more about this baby and a little bit about this need and a couple of names that are given here that are mentioned. You know, we did not read the last couple of verses that should have been read here. I'm not sure what happened there, but verses 24 and 25, where an angel then says he'll be called Emmanuel. So we get two names, Jesus and Emmanuel. The first name is Jesus, and it is important and tells us something about this gift, that He will save His people from their sins. The name Jesus is the Greek name for the Hebrew name Joshua. And the name Joshua, the Hebrew name, means the Lord saves. And in Joseph's dream, the angel tells him that this is what Jesus is to do, or that Jesus will do. And specifically, that He will save people from their sins. And so there's something special about this baby who is to be called Jesus. He has a mission and a purpose about His life that is already articulated, that is already laid out for Him before He's even born. It's not a mission for Himself, but rather it's a mission for others, for people like you and me. Because whether we recognize it or not, we need saving from our sins. We need saving from ourselves because of the sin in our lives, let alone saving in our other relationships, because it gets in the way of those, our relationships with other people and our relationship with God. And we need to be lifted up out of the muck and out of the mire of our sin and its consequences so that we can live rightly in relationship with God and with other people. That's what Jesus does. Jesus saves. And we need that in our lives, whether we recognize it or not. Secondly, we see that this baby is also called Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is not the name that is most commonly that Jesus is most commonly called, but nonetheless, this name tells us something about this baby that the Father gives. That in this baby, God is with us. It's a fulfillment of Matthew 7, verse 14, that Matthew, the gospel writer, points out for us. And one thing that Rico Tice writes about this in his book is that this gives us clarity. This birth of the baby, the idea that God with us and also the saving too, but it gives us clarity. The gift of Jesus, Emmanuel, gives us clarity about who God is. With this baby, and even more so as he grows into a man, we have clarity, we see with clarity who God is. We don't need to guess, is there a God, or wonder what He's like. We have clarity on that. Through this gift, we also gain clarity about whether or not there's anything beyond the created realm. Is there anything else? Is there an eternal realm? Is heaven for real? As Rigo Tice points out in his book, he writes, the French atheist philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre once said, there comes a time when one asks, even of Shakespeare, even of Beethoven, is that all there is? This is part of the human condition, that what wows us and inspires us eventually only satisfies us, and sometime after that, quite frequently, we're not even satisfied with it anymore. Even Shakespeare and Beethoven begin to wear out over time. Or if that's not your cup of tea, then Broadway musicals and Metallica, or Van Gogh and the Seahawks, or pick whatever it is that represents the best of whatever you enjoy. Eventually you start to ask, is that all there is? We get tired of it. And Emmanuel, God with us, gives us clarity on that question in the very big picture, ultimate kind of way. Is there a God? If so, what is He like? Is there more than what we see? This gift, this baby, tells us that yes, there is more. There is an eternal realm. There is a God who has created everything, and He has come to us in this gift that He has given. He gives us clarity on these things. It's like a divine yes coming straight from heaven into our lives, meeting our greatest needs and answering our deepest questions in this gift of a baby. We see it in the angelic announcements at his birth. We see it throughout his life, Jesus' life, that gives meaning to this gift. We see it as he fulfills Old Testament prophecies. We see it in his miracles. We see it in his teachings. We see it in his death and resurrection. We see it in the first disciples who persevered through persecution in the early church. We see it in lives that are completely and radically transformed, saved from their sin, right, by Jesus. We see it in the growth of Christianity from the birth of a baby to a movement that, quite frankly, probably should have died when its leader did on the cross, but instead has grown to be the worldwide faith movement that it is today. And it all began with the gift of a baby. It was not the gift that anyone expected or thought that they needed. Maybe you question whether it's a gift that you need as well. Maybe it's not something you thought a whole lot about at Christmas. I mean, really, with all the lights, flying reindeer, Santa, Christmas trees, elves, Christmas cartoons with talking snowmen and carrots for noses. What else? Bombardment of advertising about all the material things. Anyone watch a football game, yesterday or the weekend sometime? All the advertising now is it's always about what you can buy, right? But now it's specifically tied to Christmas. Everything has got a bow on it that they're trying to sell you. It is so easy to get distracted from the true meaning of Christmas. What we do not want to forget, however, is that the gift that really is the gift that really matters, the gift that started it all. Your Heavenly Father could have gotten you anything. And he's given you a gift that is not purchased at the last minute on Amazon Prime account. He's given you and he's given me, he's given the world a thoughtful, long-planned gift. Something that's very near and dear to him. He gave us a baby, his one and only son, who brings clarity about God, who he is, and about eternity. Through this gift, he is telling us loud and clear about himself and eternity and how much you mean to him, that you are loved by your Heavenly Father, that he values you, that he cares for you, that he's given this carefully crafted gift, a perfect, flawless gift, for you. So be sure to open that gift this Christmas. Don't let it get buried amongst all the other gifts. Even if you've known Christ for all your lives, this isn't just a message for someone maybe who hasn't known Jesus. This is for the disciples too. We need to be reminded to open the gift of Jesus once again this Christmas. So be sure to open that gift, because that's what Christmas is all about. And the first Christmas gift ever given is the most important one. And you don't need to be in the heavenly living room to open it. You can do so any Christmas time, wherever you may be. Heavenly Father, thank you for this gift that you give us. Probably, God, for most of us, if we were to think about what gift could we get from you, what would it be? If we could have anything, we might not have said a baby. But Lord, thank you that you know us better than we do, that you have given us Jesus, Emmanuel, this perfect, flawless gift. Thank you, God, for knowing us better than we know ourselves and giving us this gift that we need, that no one else could provide, that only you could do, that only you could give. So Lord, may we receive it and open it and be blessed by this gift, this Christmas and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.